I created Species Nutrition with one mission in mind: to provide bodybuilders and serious athletes with no-nonsense supplements that work. I put my name and reputation on every bottle of Species Nutrition products. If you want to be your absolute best, join the evolution. And we're back, and we're live for another Heavy Muscle Radio. Who knows how many of these we've done? We've been doing this for over 15 years now. And I'm here, of course, with Chris, the technician, Aceto. And Chris, I have Alexi, my documentarian from all the way from the UK, England, has been following me around the last 5 or 6 days, and he'll be here for another few more days. And he's just been filming me nonstop. So
he's getting good coverage.
I think so. I don't know. It's you know, sometimes we have just spontaneously funny stuff that happens sometimes.
Well, let me tell you, he missed the Dave Palumbo peak. The peak of zaniness is when you had the warehouse in Seaford, New York. Dave had, when nobody had a podcast, Dave had a built out studio in his Species warehouse in New York. And it was just, it was like Saturday Night Live every single day. Right?
Yeah, no, it's good. Well, you never know who's going to show up, who would walk in that door. Yeah, exactly.
That's what I said. The cast of characters would come by. It'd be like, people would just show up. And if people were in town, you know, like celebrity bodybuilders would show up and you'd interview them, and Dave would like drink wine on the set.
This is better because this is kind of like a look back. You know, we're kind of like he's doing my new routine now because this is my new routine that I do, and obviously I'll talk about the evolution of my of who I became. I guess that's what it'll that's we haven't really come up with the theme yet, but we're filming a lot of footage. I'll tell you one thing, Woody. You know, I drop a lot of shit and break a lot of stuff. So he's been dying to catch me dropping and breaking something, and every time he turns the camera off, I drop and break something. So we haven't coordinated that yet. But we were in the Walmart supermarket today, and someone came up to me and recognized me. So he got that on film. So
Walmart's a good place to get a wife, according to Cedric McMillan. I told you that before.
He said, right. He said, all these guys are going to bodybuilding shows and gyms. You got to go to Walmart, right?
Yeah, Cedric used to say you have to go to Walmart to get your wife.
And what was his reasoning behind that? You want to tell us?
Because he said if you were paralyzed tomorrow, would one of these bikini chicks, you know, take care of you? That was his. That was
brilliant wisdom.
It was a little bit more explicit. He said, you know, when you can't, you know, clean yourself after the bathroom, who's going to help
you? Who's going to wipe your butt? That's what he said, right?
So he said you have to get somebody who's, you know, into you, the person. He said you can find those people. He said you can't find them at pro bodybuilding shows.
He's right. He's unfortunately right. There's still a few good ones out there. All right. I want to talk about I saw that Phil Heath was on Piers Morgan. I watch Piers Morgan a lot because you know why? He has a lot of people. He sets up people like where they fight with each other. So I like to watch that occasionally where the people are always arguing with each other. So I think obviously The Rock and his production company has produced this documentary on Phil that's called Breaking Olympia. And I guess he's been getting amongst them some big time, you know, podcasts and the talk shows, which is good. Obviously help promote it. What do you, did you watch it?
I haven't seen it yet. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen the documentary, but I saw the interview with Piers Morgan.
Well, I sent you the interview because I watched Piers Morgan because usually he has somebody on and the first question he asks him, I don't know if he asks Phil, is if Phil condemns Hamas. But you know, Piers is like the real deal, you know, in terms of views. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's up there actually as like with Patrick McDavid, and you've been on his show.
I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm surprised Patrick McDavid hasn't got Phil on.
Because he's, you know what, he probably will at some point, you know, because he covers, Patrick McDavid covers the gambit from like A to Z in terms of just so many topics. His breadth is unbelievable in terms of.
I don't know if he gets along with The Rock, does he? I don't know if if their politics jive with each other. Do you?
Well, I don't know. Did you see? Did you see the Rock refused to endorse Biden this time around?
Yeah, I did see that, and I know Patrick McDavid did talk about that because I watch him regularly. But
so no, I didn't see the Phil. Phil will probably end up, you know, going on Patrick McDavid at some point. But I didn't really see the interview with Phil and Piers Morgan. I skimmed through it when I sent it to you. You know, I watched like the beginning, couple minutes, and the wrap up, 2 minutes. And Phil seemed very comfortable on camera, which is important. You know.
Well, he's good. He's always good on camera. I felt like he was, you know, and I think I probably would have got sucked into this as well. I felt like he was a little starstruck with the fact that he was there with Piers, which I would too, because it's a big time interview. And he was almost enjoying himself a little too much there. You know what I mean? I don't know if he was being as he was being very agreeable with Piers. And Piers obviously must like The Rock a lot, because he didn't go after Phil in a negative way. Because, you know, Piers usually will challenge the guests a lot. And I felt like he was more kind of having fun with Phil, you know, and it wasn't an adversarial type of an interview. It was kind of like they were both on the same team type of thing.
Yeah, well, you know, you have to be on guard too with Piers, like last minute, like side swipe you with like anabolic and stuff.
Well, he was asking that all of them.
That's what's on Phil's radar, I'm sure. Like anybody would go on Piers Morgan is, okay, at what point is he going to try to like negate my success and say, well, what about, you know, anabolics?
Well, yeah, he did ask about that. But he was originally threw a little Arnold in there because I guess Phil had been training with Arnold. And I guess it was a good story that Phil told. He said that, you know, he was supposed to meet Arnold, I think, at 8 o'clock in the morning at the gym, and he or 8:15. He got to 8:15. Arnold was already there at 7:30, you know, pulling one of his, like, you know, you get to be there early, Phil, you know. So then Phil went the next day, he went even earlier. And I think Arnold came even earlier than that, you know, type of thing to try to, you know, get there before Phil. But I remember Arnold telling a similar story when he was on the set of Predator. And, you know, Carl Weathers, Jesse Ventura, they would all go and work out in the morning before they would do a whole day of filming. And as the days progressed, everyone was getting there earlier and earlier to work out because they wanted to have more time in the gym than the other guys. So, like, Carl Weathers would get there 7 a.m., Arnold would come 6:30, and then Jesse would come 6:25. You know, they would try to one-up each other who was going to work out harder and longer. So I think Arnold pulled the same deal on and Phil did those guys. And I guess, you know, Arnold had made a crack. I guess Piers had brought up about the, you know, the bubble guts and everything like that. And then Phil had made a crack at about Arnold's legs. You know, Arnold didn't have good legs, which I thought was good. It was a good comeback on Phil's part. And I liked the fact that they did a little mock arm wrestle with Piers at the end. Mm-hmm. And he let Piers win at the end, but that was fun. Now I was thinking, you know, because Piers is asking also about anabolics and stuff like that, and, you know, about the enhanced games, you know, what he thinks about them. And Phil brought up a good point, something similar that I would have brought up, which was, you know, who's going to do the enhanced games? Because once you kind of do those games, you're kind of, aren't you kind of like admitting that you're using performance enhancing drugs? Like, it's hard to go backwards and go do the Olympics after that, you know. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see a lot of like internet sensations doing it, you know, like the Trend Twins and stuff like that. People that already talk about using anabolics.
Yeah, it's an oddity, right? The enhanced games.
Well, they're putting up a lot of money. That Peter Thiel guy, the guy who did PayPal with Elon Musk, he's involved, and they're going to put up a lot of cash, you know? And so
what is Peter Thiel's motivation?
He just thinks it's, you know, because I think he's sick of the whole, like, you know, let's face it. Performance enhancing drugs are kind of like a joke at this point. I think everyone realizes that they made a big deal about this for nothing, and that Who cares? No one cares. We want to see records broken. We don't give a shit. Everyone cheats. Everyone does it, whatever they can possibly do to better themselves, whether it be the swimmers wearing better swimsuits so they're more water dynamic, or in racing, wearing more aerodynamic outfits. And that's what you want, right? You want to see who could run faster and perform better.
You forgot about the anabolics in swimming.
No, what I'm saying is I'm trying to talk about everything but the anabolics. But the anabolics are just as much of a joke as what I'm saying is everything else.
Well, I mean, it just if you leave out or fail to mention anabolics in swimming, there's an assumption that swimmers don't use drugs to become faster or better. And it because it just ties in once again to bodybuilders, because the way they look, are, quote, the only ones, doesn't right. include wrestlers and football players and track and field athletes and shot putters and, the gambit, skiers. Listen, look,
everyone uses them.
You know what? It is a very, very, very competitive world, from sports to business to you name it. And people will look for every single possible edge to get ahead. And that includes all sports. It's just that bodybuilding, when Phil goes on, Piers Morgan, he can't escape, whether it be in fun or not so fun or in jest, about anabolics. But Piers would probably not ask that. He wouldn't assume it if he had on, the person who's the best in the world in swimming.
Yeah. Well, he was asking him also about, trans athletes and what he thought about the trans athletes. And, Phil pretty much said what we all said. They should just have a league of their own. Pierre said, well, do you think it's cheating? Phil's like, well, I don't know. I'm not, I guess he didn't want to make a statement on it. But, what he said, which was also what we're all thinking, is why are these women participating? They should all just say, we're not going to, if you're going to put men in our divisions, in our women's divisions, then we're not going to compete. And that's the end of the story. That would shut that right down. So I thought that was a good answer he gave. It's funny, the questions Morgan was asking Phil, I was thinking to myself, and I have to give credit to one of my friends for bringing this up. What would Nasser have said if he was being asked these questions online?
He'd be bothered by Pierre.
He's like, I do not want to answer this question. I think it is moronic, and it has nothing to do with my documentary I'm trying to promote. And I don't care about Arnold or what I'm eating for breakfast. I would just like to talk about,
No, not Nasser with that. Anyone my agent made me come. I don't even want to be on this show. To tell him he'd rattle off the ratings, Pierce's ratings.
Yeah.
You're doing terrible in Europe. You're only doing good in the southeast of the United States. You're not doing good in the southwest, the northwest, and northeast.
Yeah. I know where you're from, and your family there. They're lower class, and they didn't have education. And you're a fake. You're a fraud. I understand that you cheated on your final exam in college, and that would be the end of the interview. Pierce would be like, "All right, thank you for joining us, Nasser Al-Sabahi. We'll see you next time." That would be end of the interview. Would be over.
Getting back to Phil, it's good that he gets a chance after his career to go on a show like this
and
showcase his accomplishments and what he did. And and it's good that he can do it after the fact, because your mindset is different and your insight into yourself is totally different when you retired as compared to when you're in it. Because when you're in it, you're just so mentally into it. There's no self-reflection.
No.
And that's not a dig on Phil. That's just the way it is. When you're in it to win it all the time, year after year, just meal after meal, workout after workout, you can't even, you're a different breed, different person than when you've retired and you can think of, through all the accomplishments, the highs, the lows. Mm.
I was watching I've been watching a lot of documentaries lately, and some of these stories are so incredible that these athletes have overcome obstacles and accomplished stuff. Would you think that the general public will be able to relate to Phil Heath and what he's in bodybuilding?
I think
that's what I worry about.
Can they, or do they want to?
I know. I mean, I know I will enjoy the documentary, just like I'll probably enjoy George Farah's one that is going to be previewed next weekend in St. Petersburg. But will the general population watch it, do you think, and appreciate it?
No.
Enjoy it.
They will not watch it, nor will they appreciate it, because they will not watch it because, you know, it's not baseball, it's not wrestling, it's still a fringe sport. It's a great sport,
but it's freaky though. It's like, I think people like to watch freaky shit, don't you?
They may. I mean, I haven't seen it, so I can't say like
no. Well, it hasn't. I don't know if it's come out yet.
You know, do they show his body all the time? That it looks freaky.
I'm sure. I mean, that's got to be a huge part of the whole thing, right?
But, you know, people still, quote, the general population still discount bodybuilding in terms of, you know, it's a fringe sport that people's physiques are built wholly and exclusively on anabolics. That's the problem with it. You know, the general population is when you go to the end of your driveway, you look left and you look right. You know who lives in the houses to the left and right of you and across the street. Mm-hmm. Are they going to watch it? Probably not.
Mate, they might. You know why? Because even though people think that, you know, bodybuilders are using anabolics to look the way they are, they know that there are not many bodybuilders that look like Phil Heath out there. So obviously he's got something special that these other guys don't. I think they would be interested in knowing what he did to achieve that look, you know, because there's no one else that looks like him, you know, even though everyone else is taking anabolic. So I think that if it's promoted right, and I think The Rock is the right vehicle to do that because he's got connections in Hollywood. He's getting Phil on the right talk shows. He's going to put the thing in front of the right people so that it's available for people to watch. I think the thing might be popular. I don't know. I haven't watched it, so I don't know how good it is, but you know, I think, you know, look at what Bigger, Stronger, Faster was very popular. That, and Mark Cuban got behind that thing and promoted the hell out of it for Chris Bell. So, yeah. And that was a popular documentary.
Yeah. Well, regardless, it's, you know, the good thing is that it's out there. It's featuring, you know, 7-time champion. It's featuring, it's being created by, you know, or supported by The Rock, which is, you know, mainstream. Yeah. You know, bodybuilding may not be mainstream, but The Rock is certainly mainstream. I was just making the point not to belittle Phil and belittle the sport of bodybuilding, but if it was a documentary on The Rock, right, everyone would be interested.
Well, The Rock is in it, which is smart. I think a smart move, because that's going to add a lot of appeal to the fact that he's in it. Kai Greene's in it, which we all know he's very interesting, and Jay Cutler's in it. So how could you go wrong with that cast? So
they missed out on Chris Bumstead. Then you could.
Really wasn't around when Phil was, you know, competing. So it wouldn't. But Jay was around. Obviously, Jay lost to Phil. Kai was around. Kai couldn't beat Phil. And The Rock obviously is going to add a level of celebrity to the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I imagine I don't know if Arnold's in it or not. There might be a little scene with him or two in it, but I think that there's enough star power in this thing that it could potentially, you know, be interesting and do well.
Well, you know, not to backpedal, but the fact that he is on Pierce, I mean, that does broaden the scope in terms of who may want to see it after not knowing who Phil is. You know, if people tune into Pierce Morgan may say, you know, I'll watch it.
And let's put it this way. What if it is popular, and let's say that people like it, would that open the door for maybe more documentaries on other bodybuilders?
I think if it's absolutely, if it's really popular, that's, you know, you always, that's like saying, you know, they made this movie and it was super popular or sold like gangbusters. They always immediately start to do, you know, the same movie part two.
Right. Right. Is there what about a Lou Ferrigno documentary? I know they did that Stan Hall back in the 90s, but that was more about his comeback, you know, but
yeah.
I think a Lou Ferrigno documentary, you know, that encompassed his career, the Incredible Hulk, all his acting gigs, the adversity he overcame, his relationship with his father. I think that would be very interesting. I would want to watch it.
Obviously, I haven't seen it. Like I said, I haven't seen it. And you haven't seen the Phil documentary,
right? No.
any documentary about a bodybuilder at Phil's level. So it could be Kai, it could be Jay, you know, Coleman. Coleman's was really popular. That tries to tell the story of the person, because everyone has a unique story. If you can really capture that and not write that, there's a difference. If you can capture it versus just write it, it can be popular amongst a lot of people. But like, you know, what was the movie that Generation Iron did? The Pump and Iron? It was like theater, you know? So a documentary has to cover people's innermost feelings, who they're covering. And their vulnerabilities. That's what makes a documentary successful, because people have a face that they put on. We all do. We have a face that we put on in front of other people, and we have our true face, which is when you're 100% alone. And you know, when you're alone, no matter who you are, you have insecurities or vulnerabilities and, you know, worries. And if you can capture that, you know, and you can create this human side of somebody, you know, who looks Herculean, it's, you know, it can sell.
Well, Phil's interesting too. I mean, you know, people say, well, maybe they should do a documentary on Bumstead. I said, well, Bumstead just started, you know, his career's still in the middle of it. So he doesn't really, he's still in that, like, I'm focused on competing. You got to wait till you're done. When you're done, you have a much better perception and idea of like what you went through, because you can look back in retrospect and have more introspection about yourself. When you're in the middle of it, sometimes you can't really comment. So I think, like, if we start seeing guys like Phil, Kai, they should definitely do someone. The Rock should grab him for a documentary, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's not next. That would be a great documentary. I know that Mel Chancy told me they're doing a documentary on him from his days as president of Hell's Angels to what he is now. So that's going to be really good. And, you know, I would love to see one on Jay, a really well done one, because he's got a really great story as well. I mean, this guy went from, you know, rags to riches, essentially. I mean, he was digging ditches, like you said, as a teenager, and look at him now. So I think that the average American would find that interesting, you know, because of where they, because of the way they looked, the sensationalistic way they looked. And I think that's something that hopefully maybe this Phil documentary will spark interest in more bodybuilders getting documentaries, and that's good for business, I think.
Piers didn't ask Phil about the prize money, did he?
No. Well, Phil cashed in on a couple, you know, before he retired. He got 400. He made 400 grand, right? Once or twice.
I don't know. No, I don't think he. I don't think it was.
Yeah, like no, he did. He did. He got one of those. Maybe 1 year. I don't know if it was 1 or 2 years. He got one of those big ones. So, did Roden get 400? He must have, right?
No, he didn't get 400. I don't think. No, I think it was like 2, and the lawyers were like 240.
No, he won 4, didn't he?
What's that?
Didn't Roden win 4?
I don't think so. I don't know. It was 2018, so
I don't remember when they increased it.
I don't think it was there yet.
I think it must have, because Pecker, I think he did it the last year they did it, or the second to last year. I don't remember. I remember there was a lot of money. I thought Phil was the last year.
No, because the next year Brandon won, and there's no way Brandon got 4. No way.
Xavier, I see you watching. When did they increase the prize money to 400,000? You said Phil got 400 at least once. So that's Xavier.
No, Phil never got 4. Xavier doesn't know.
Let's look it up.
Xavier, what are you doing here? You coming here for the content?
He likes us. We're all friends.
Glad he likes us. Someone has to.
In 2021, it was 400,000. Second place took home 150. Maybe you're right. That doesn't say when it raised it, though. I thought Phil got one time he made.
No, Phil didn't. He didn't.
Yeah. In 20 was they got 400 grand. Rami got 200. I got to go back. You guys look it up in the comment section. Do some googling for me, guys. Someone wrote 2015, but I don't think it had to be after that. No way. It went to 400,000 in 2015. That's what Dustin is saying.
No, it didn't. That didn't, Dave. Believe me.
Because remember, AMI still owned the Olympia at the time.
Yeah, AMI had it. They were.
Wow. I know Phil got at least one. Pecker did it on stage with Phil there. Yeah, I remember that too. Yeah. So he got at least one of those. What do you think they're going to raise it to this year, Chris?
I already made that prediction.
Well, let's hear it.
I made the prediction the day Arnold said five. I said six. Six is 650.
All right.
650. They can't go 100. They can't go 100 more. It's not enough.
No.
No.
Why didn't you think it's 100,000 over is more than enough? I mean, I would think 5,000 more would be enough.
Because the challenge has been laid by Arnold. Arnold has the whole point in raising the money is to say,
right,
my show is better than your show, period.
Okay. And
you know what? If the response to that is not going from, you know, $5,000 more than Arnold's show.
Right. Xavier, what is this you sent me here? Results. I only see what year was that? Was that so there is whatever year this was that you sent me. It says Phil Heath won 400 grand. Rami, the year, what was your year was Rami second? It says 150,000 he got.
17, Rami was second in 17.
Okay, so that's nice. 2017 then is when they raised it.
Maybe Rami did win 400. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be right. He spent it all on his lawyers, unfortunately. Anyway, all right. Well, look, I'm glad that the prize money's going up. That's a great thing for bodybuilding, for sure. Anyway, good job, Phil, on the Piers Morgan show. I wish NASA was alive to go on.
When are you gonna do? You gotta get Phil on, Dave.
Yeah, I think we talked with him about that. I think Sid reached out to him. We got to get him to.
Yeah, your people got to talk to his people.
Well, we should get him on the Heavy Muscle Radio so we can get him on live here and talk about it.
Yeah, that'd be good.
All right, let me see what
else. It'd be good to have him on the show, but Dave, you know what? You're a good interviewer, and it's better that I think that you just have him one-on-one. It's too bad that, you know, Zoom's great. You know, it allows people to, you know, interview people from 3,000, 10,000 miles away, but it'd be nice to do a sit-down with you and Phil because there's a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we can do it.
You can read his body language and he can read your body language.
Right.
And as much as Phil probably did a great job on Piers Morgan, you know, I mean, what does Piers really know authentically about Phil? Right. Other than what he read and skimmed and this and that?
Yeah. It was a short interview too. It really was. What do you think about, so Martha Stewart at 81 years old last year was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. They're going backwards now, Sports Illustrated. They instead of getting younger girls, they're getting older women. Now they have their 60th anniversary. It's like the Olympia.
I thought we were buying the name Sports Illustrated when it went bankrupt. Did it go bankrupt yet?
I guess it hasn't gone bankrupt yet. So they got all these former, I guess, Sports Illustrated models are going to be in the newest issue.
Yeah.
And the 60th anniversary. Isn't it funny that it's the same anniversary as the Olympia?
Yeah.
So the Sports Illustrated must have been started at the same time the Olympia was. They brought together 29 of their past models for the epic shoot. And models, remember Polina Porizkova?
Yeah.
She was pretty cute back in the day. Kate Upton, Brooks Nader, Winnie Harlow, Lena Bloom, Molly Sims.
Who would Blackman's 29 be for the car shoe?
Christy Brinkley.
No, bodybuilders, not models.
Oh. he only wants the guys with glutes, so I don't know.
I mean, I like the whole nostalgia thing, but I mean, can't they find a new person? Doesn't it seem like they like in all walks of everything, like celebrity lately, it's like they're kind of like rehashing a lot of the old stuff. Like you don't see a lot of new superstars out there. Even in the music industry, there's not a lot of new talent coming out. I was watching Patrick Bateman was interviewing Suge Knight. He also brought that up. He's like, there's a lot of great new talent out there, and they're not giving these people chances. It's like they're just using the same old people, you know?
Well, Dave, I told you about the guy at the Arnold Classic who I got in the cab twice with, the Uber, mm-hmm. and he was a yep. music producer, and he was driving the Uber for his son while he was visiting him.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
He said a lot of people with super talent who used to come out to LA back in the day, it's different. You know, it's hard to break through. There's a lot of, you know.
Well, I think they're not giving people an opportunity to break through is what the answer to that all is. I remember Kathy Ireland, Mr. Rudy. Yes, I think I had her cover on the wall of my college dorm. Kathy Ireland. Remember Kathy Ireland?
Yeah, of course.
She was hot. Breasts below the waist. That's right. That's right, Xavier. Yeah, I would like to see. Too bad we don't have any magazines left, but I would sure like to see like Arnold, Louis, Samir. Who else? Arnold, Louis, Samir,
Haney, Dorian.
Yeah, maybe Dorian in there. Yeah, Haney. Yeah, sure. Jay still looks great. Phil, how about do like a photo shoot with all the surviving Mr. Olympias? You know, tell them, look, you got 16 weeks to get in shape, and we're going to do a photo shoot at the Mr. Olympia competition, and we're going to put it on. We're going to, you know, I don't know what we're going to do with it, but we're going to put it on some kind of guy.
Can't put it in print because there's no print magazines left.
Well, Jake Wood printed an issue of Muscle and Fitness at the Mr. Olympia this past year in 23. Maybe you could do another one, like another special edition, and put those guys on the cover. That would surely be a memorable shot. Think about all the most memorable shots. I remember what Weider one year had all the Mr. Olympias on stage at the Olympia.
95.
Is that what it was? Yeah. That was an iconic picture with Joe in the middle.
Arnold had to come from, I think he was doing a movie shoot or something. A
movie set, yeah. Yeah. And I'm trying to think of the other iconic pictures. I would say one of the other iconic pictures is that crazy picture of everyone standing in front of Gold's Gym Venice. Remember that one?
Yeah, that's super iconic.
I think I think Valentino's in that picture too. Valentino's in that picture. I'm trying to think of what other, you know, iconic pictures in bodybuilding that we think about.
That Lee Haney picture of New York winning the New York Pro. Or Night of the Champions when he's doing a lat spread in the middle of the city.
Oh yeah, with the jeans on. Yeah. Hold on.
All the iconic stuff is with Artie List's photographer. What's his face?
Artie Zella.
Artie Zella has them all.
Yeah, he's not even alive anymore.
I know. Hold on. That's where those photos are. I wonder who got Artie Zella's collection.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now talk about Bodybuilding Hall of Fame, which I always forget about.
Can you name these people, Chris?
I can name lots of people there.
I see Platts. I see Waller, Louis.
The Mensers.
The Mensers. Mike Torsher, I see.
Yeah, Mike Torsher. I can name a million people in that picture.
Ken Kuhn in the middle. Tom Platts is right next, kind of right near him.
Yeah. I can't even see it, Dave. It's like a postage stamp, but I know who's in it.
Oh, you're on your phone? Yeah. Barbarian Blood in it.
Lynn Conkright's in it.
Is that Lynn Conkright? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Who else is in that? Ron Tufel's in it.
Ron Tufel, that's right. Wow.
Dave, I can't even see it. I'm just going by memory.
Chris Nickerson's right in the middle.
Andre Spalling is in it.
Yeah, you're right.
Lisa Lyon is in it.
Yes. You studied that picture before.
The Barbarians, I think, are in it, right?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. In the back.
Kent Keene is in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that Gromkowski in that picture too?
Yeah. Gromkowski. I said Gromkowski.
Oh, okay. Wow. There's not that many iconic. That's why I'm saying we need a couple more iconic pictures like that. The great picture.
That one that you and what's his face used to have with Blackman in the front row. That one with you and Vermont.
Oh, Blackman was watching Evan Santavani. I was on stage at the New York Crowd, and Doc Bruni was horrified. Like,
post that one up, Dave.
I don't know what that is. Oh my god, that's pretty iconic. Yeah. Oh man.
That picture of Franco Colombo blowing up that water balloon.
Yeah, that's pretty iconic, yeah.
Or him deadlifting like I don't know 750.
Franco lifting the car. I remember Wide World of Sports, you remember that?
Yeah, or him doing that deadlift, right? That one with the bars back.
Yeah. I think when he used to blow up those water bottles, he used to slice them with a razor blade. I think he cheated on those.
You'd have to ask Arnold.
I was posing today. Alexi here wanted to get some footage of me. I said, I really don't want to do it. So we were sitting by the pool, and we went into they had like a gym there. I was hitting some shots. I don't know if I'm going to let him. But use the footage. I have to look at it.
No, first. You got to, Dave. You got to be vulnerable on a. You got to show the. You got to show the ugly stuff.
I don't look too bad. Like I'm pretty shredded, but I don't really like my physique, you know. But it's we'll see. I'll see how it looked. He thought it would look. I looked really good, but we'll see. We'll see. I have we're taking a lot of footage, and I'll. Once all the footage is taken, I'll look it over and I'll see what can be used and what can't be used. So, all right, what else? So we got this Jim Mannion show coming up. Let's pull up the poster for that. It's funny how this show has become so iconic, you know. And let me tell you something. Jim Mannion has been having this show for years. He's been doing this show. I mean, I guest posted this show 1 year, believe it or not, in 1997? I don't know. 1 year I was up there, I'm pretty sure. And we're going to see Rammy. I'm hearing like a lot of rumors about Rammy, but you know what? Rammy's putting up a lot of videos on his Instagram, but they're not recent stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means. Is he trying to get people excited about himself? Is he trying to build some hype for this guest posing in Pittsburgh? You seem to understand the psyche of Rammy better than anyone, Chris. What's going on here?
He don't care about hype. So he's just putting that up. If he's putting anything up, it's just content to put out. But he don't care about hype.
But why all of a sudden? Why all of a sudden are we seeing a lot of Rammy stuff where before we were seeing almost nothing from Rammy?
Well, one, he's probably not putting it up. Someone else is putting it up for him.
Oh, you don't think so? Okay.
No. And then, so the bodybuilding stuff, I haven't been to his Instagram in eons, but I'll check it out tonight. And so stuff that's going up is probably someone putting it up for him. And he doesn't believe in, Rammy doesn't believe in hype or momentum.
Is this old or new?
I'll tell you. Hold on.
It looks old to me.
What's he doing? I haven't seen nothing. That's old.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because his back looks really good here. His arms are big too.
Well, let me see if I'm. That's 99% chance old. There's too much of a glare on the phone.
Oh, on your phone, you mean? It looks good on what I'm showing everyone. He looks very big here. This has to be old.
Why?
And that's why I'm asking. Why
is he he's big?
I didn't say that. He's always big, but this was the stuff the other day you said was from also old.
Yeah, no, I was right. That's old.
Yeah, no, you were right. I know you were right because I checked it out. But I'm just saying, so it's like the last two videos he put up are old. Now he's going to be in Pittsburgh in 2 weeks, guest posing. So my question is, you know, what's going on? You know, is he obviously, you know, is he planning on trying to like, you know, hype himself up because he's going to do the Olympia this year? Or is it just coincidence that all these videos are going up?
No, whoever's putting it up for him is trying to build the hype for him, but this is an old video too.
No, I know.
Yeah,
why? But, why are they trying to build hype?
Putting it up is putting it up for him, for sure.
All right. Having said that, do you think, first of all, do you think Rami can come back better than he was last year or whenever we saw him last on stage?
And yeah, I think, yeah. His last outing was not a good outing, so no. he can beat that, yeah. Oh, the last Olympia outing. He beat that at the Arnold.
Well, he beat it conditioning-wise, but he still had some issues with, you know, some of the things that were going on. But he took a whole year off, which I think was a good idea, rested his body. This year, obviously, he plans to be doing the Olympia, or at least that's what the intention seems to be. He's going to be guest posing here at the Olympia, so I'm at the Pittsburgh show in 2 weeks. Which is essentially, it's like when these college football players go to the combine before they get into the draft. You know, it's like a preview for the Olympia. It's a 6 month out preview, and we're going to see Derek Lunsford there. We're going to see Rami there. We're going to see, you know, Samson there. We're going to see every guy who's vying for an Olympia title. Hunter Labrada is going to be there. Nick Walker. Nick Walker will probably be in the best shape because he's got New York Pro the week after. Andrew Jacked is even coming in, which is amazing in and of itself. So, and then there was a couple of new additions, I think I saw on their Instagram, but no one who is going to, you know, break the bank or anything like that. So my question is, what's the Rami strategy here? If he's coming, he obviously is doing it because he's trying to make an impression. Either that, or is he trying to make up for the time that he missed going to Pittsburgh that one time?
Yeah, so what is the question?
What's the motivation behind Rami and all of a sudden this recent hype, putting up videos, which he never does, and appearing in Pittsburgh when he never did that before?
Well, he's been to Pittsburgh. He just missed that 1 year. But yeah. Regardless, what's the motivation of him putting up the stuff? I said someone else is probably putting it up for him.
Yeah, then why are they putting it up? There's obviously they're trying to promote him in some degree, right?
Yeah, maybe there's, you know, maybe that's part of, you know, I mean, the answer is I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm just asking your opinion because usually you're right about these things.
Yeah.
Xavier said, do you think anyone would have complained if Big Rami won the 23 Arnold Classic?
Do I?
Yeah.
No, I think he was in the running in my eyes to win it. I think. Let me ask: is Xavier? Would anyone complain if Andrew Jack had won it?
Yeah. No.
No. What did Xavier say?
Oh, I don't know. He didn't answer. I'm saying I'm just giving you my answer.
Oh, did Xavier ask that question? No, because I thought at that show. I thought the most dangerous person in the show was Andrew.
Because conditioning wise, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what shows are about. He's got the best flow, and he had the best condition for sure. And
Davis says, I don't think so.
And then Rami would have, you know, Rami was, you know, when people came out, I was like, wow, look at this guy. You know, I think Andrew's got this guy. I think Andrew's got this guy. And when Rami came out, I thought, uh-oh, you know, gigantic.
Right.
So, in other words, just the size could negate the condition.
Well, speaking of Andrew Jack, what is going on with Andrew Jack? We see him. He's going to be in Pittsburgh.
Looks great.
Yeah. Oh, he does look great? Okay, good.
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
Big?
Huge.
So he could be the surprise in Pittsburgh. So I was trying to think. What I'm trying to get to is who's going to be – I mean, Nick Walker obviously is going to be a week out from competing, so he's going to look great. But who other than Nick Walker is going to be like someone that everyone's going to not expect but then expect? Because Derek was a couple of years ago, you know.
I think people like discount too easily like Hunter Labrada because I think Hunter's really big right now.
Yeah.
And I think the expectation, of course, is that, you know, there's an expectation of Derek to look like he's looked at these last couple of years, you know, at this show, which is outstanding. But I think Hunter, you know, with his size, I think Rami with his size, and I think Andrew with his size are all going to turn heads.
You know what the really, the, I think the best play of anyone is really Hadi Chopin is really the guy who's got, who's really going to be messing with these guys mentally because he's not going to be here. Obviously he's got a perfect excuse why he can't come, right? Because visa issues, obviously they're not going to let him come to do a guest posing here in the United States. He's lucky he can get here to compete. So he is like almost exempt from having to come here. Whereas all these other guys have to show up. He already, we saw him what at his best at both Arnold Classics, he blew everyone away and now he's resting for the rest of the year. He doesn't have to try to gear up for Pittsburgh here. And we have to now wait until the Olympia to see him. I think he becomes the most dangerous mystery of everyone at this point, you know? Because we're not going to see him until the Olympia. You know we're not.
Yeah.
These guys are almost hat-forced to display how they look. So we're all going to make our own assumptions on it. And you know it doesn't mean a hill of beans because it doesn't matter what you look like now. It matters what you look like on the stage at the Olympia. Sean Roden proved that. You know.
I was going to say, Sean Roden would go and he wouldn't even be able to win the Pittsburgh.
Sean Roden couldn't have won the Pittsburgh amateur show the way he looked when he came here.
Yeah, because he'd be the only person not bridging the way to...
Bridging
and centrifuging. And-
Exactly. But, you know, it's interesting because we love the speculation and that's really what it is all about. I mean, like I said... Probably the most popular guy on that stage is going to be Nick Walker because he's going to look like a freak because he's going to be a week out. The fact that he's even going at a week out, which is a real pat on his back. This guy never says no to anyone, and that's great because you know what? He's a bodybuilder, you know, through and through. It's going to be great for him to stand on that stage when he knows he's going to be in the best shape of his life, and all these other guys are not. So I think he's going to get a lot of momentum from this. I think Derek will be popular just because he's Mr. Olympia. I think Rami's the guy who it could potentially work to his advantage or it could work against him. Obviously, he's going to be big, but will he have improvements? If he doesn't, are people going to be criticizing him now for the next 6 months?
Well, I'll tell you what. People will, you know, he'll if he's gigantic, he'll dwarf Derek. And so people will talk about that. And then in the next breath, he'll say, like, they'll criticize the lats.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
Right.
So,
do you think that Rami will try to diet for the show or will he come in huge?
Huge.
Okay. I hope so. I like to see him huge.
Yeah, people love to see him huge. Listen, people like to see him huge and he's a freak.
I think that's the play. What I was going to say is I think he needs to come in bigger than life here because if he does, that's the last impression we're going to have of him until the Olympia. And that's going to be a good boost for him. If he tries to come in and get in shape for this and he looks a little small because of that, it's not going to work in his favor. I think people are going to say, ah, he's done. He's got no size. He lost his size. Now he's just Rami with no size. Now he's little Rami, you know, he's not big yeah. Rami anymore. So,
I mean, it's going to be a great night, you know, because I mean, everyone on that poster is amazing.
Yeah. It's we're going to get a little preview of the Olympia and that's why we love these guest posings, you know? And Jim Mannion's been doing this like for years. And I think it really never got the notoriety that it has now because you couldn't instantly stream something to your phone and see what these guys look like. Back in the day, in the 90s, no one, unless you went to that show, you didn't know what anyone looked like there. You had to call people up and say, how did so-and-so
look? Well, no, you would have to wait even up until maybe, I don't know how many years ago, but you'd have to wait to the NPC News publication.
Yeah, that was 2 years later it would come out.
You know what I mean? See, like, oh, they had a guest posing in Pittsburgh.
Well, people would call people. They'd be like, call Chad or call me or whoever was at the Pittsburgh show. They would call. How did so-and-so look? How did this guy look? How did this guy look? Nowadays, it's like it's online in 3 seconds after it happens. So everyone's talking about it. Guaranteed there'll be a ton of controversy.
Oh, God.
A ton of debate.
Dave, you know what? You want to have a good show? call up Jim. Tell him you don't even want to cut. You just want to cover live the live guest posers.
Right.
Dave Palumbo here with you can go with Sid. You guys can cover it. Here comes Derek Lunsford, frontal bicep. Yeah. You can kick it right there live. Because you know what? If you do it from, you know what people say, if you do it from a video that happened 45 minutes ago, they'll say, Dave, you had to have been there. You don't know where you were telling yourself. That's right. You can't go by video.
That's right.
So you can and you can get the interviews, Dave, when people come off stage.
That's true. What let me ask you this question. Are you gonna be at New York Pro this year?
I am.
Oh, when are you going in?
I am going in the Wednesday before the show.
Oh, me too.
I will say this.
I have to book my flight.
I go everywhere for Noel Adami and
right.
He's not doing the show. He's got
no.
Yeah, he's got an elbow injury. And
so who are you helping?
I mean, I get other people in the show. A couple. Matt Grego has got a good chance to
win. Oh, right. Yeah, he's good.
Amir Omeragic looks fantastic. And I got Lucas, I don't even know his last name, from Brazil, who's doing the 212. He looks really good. And I got to call Weinberger because my son might jump in the 212, even though
we should do an interview with your son.
Exclusive. Yeah, he's coming down.
Exclusive. I'm going to tell him. I'll give you a contract. Make you a star.
I want to do the wrap up with, and I told you that with me, you, Sid, and Nick's mom. But I guess we'll have to throw my son in there just so he can, because he gives me tips. Like he'll say. You know what? He'll say, like, can't Dave hit a front double this way? And I, you know what I'll say, Dave? Yes, he can, but I'm too tired to teach him. And you know when you fix like 8 poses on someone?
Yeah.
I'm dead serious. And there's still like 3 to go, but it took so many months to get the 8 down, you can't even get the other 3. Like he'll say, doesn't it look better if you hit the last word like this? Yeah. Like
how about Chris when you change people's poses and you fix them, and then when they get on stage they get nervous and they go back and they do it the old way? You you spend 100 hours with them on the new poses and do it the old way.
Go right back to Dave, I swear I've seen people nail like 2 years in a row and then get to like the most important show of their life and they revert back to 3 years ago. So they did it perfectly for 2 full years.
Right.
And then they get the call out with, you know, Phil Heath and they revert right back to 3 years ago.
Yeah. Why is that?
Nerves.
Yeah. 100%.
It's nerves that they're not even aware of. It's just like, it's excitement, you know, getting the great call and then forgetting everything.
Yeah. Let's pull up some Nick Walker. Let's end the show with some Nick Walker analysis. Can anyone beat him at New York Pro?
I don't know what he looks like. Let's see. Nobody's beating that most muscular.
Yeah. I mean he's gigantic looking.
But I told you he looked fat at guys, so, and you know he's not fat, so
I don't believe he's not fat. He's never been fat.
The point is when you look in a sweatsuit when you look fat.
Oh, you know who used to look fat in a sweatsuit? Dorian, too. Remember how big Dorian's back was?
They used to look fat in a sweatsuit.
Yeah.
Kai looks fat.
That's funny. Yeah, Dorian.
But he looks, he's, yeah.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen, in the last 3 or 4 years, I don't think I've ever seen Nick out of shape. Even when he's off season, he's really, he's like a guy who stays lean all year round, you know?
Yeah. He reminds me of you.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I had.
No, like the skin texture, thin skin.
Yeah, yeah. He's got, and it's gotten. Have you noticed? It seems to have gotten thinner as he's gotten older too.
Yeah,
that muscle maturity. You know, I think he's going to be very dangerous, very hard to beat. Is Tony O'Burton confirmed for that show?
I think he's confirmed. I'm pretty sure he's doing the show. You know,
that'll be a good battle. You know, two former New York Pro champions, you know.
Fitzwater's doing it as well.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Yeah.
You think that's a good move?
I think it's a good move because, you know, you're going up against Nick Walker and you have to measure up. You know, you have to figure out, where am I actually in this mix?
Yeah.
You know, and what do I really need to improve on?
Tonio's confirmed too. Someone just said.
And they and Tonio and Fitzwater have absolutely nothing to lose. You know, yeah. they can only benefit, like, you know, in this way. Well, you know, Nick won, but on the back double or the side chest or the side tricep, or you hung with him on this and this, you know what I mean? So it's,
yeah. Is Bayrou's Tabani going to get a visa, you think, to do that show? I heard he was supposed to be in it.
New York Pro?
Yeah. I don't know if he's going to get, I don't know if he's going to get that visa coming from Iran. That's going to be tough.
Especially
lately, what's going on? Yeah.
Only if he starts working with Hanny.
Yeah, and he's got the visa connections, but yeah. But I mean, what's going on politically now? I mean, that might be just be difficult. That's the only thing I hate to say, but unfortunately, sport should be immune from politics, but it's not. Just no, it's
not at all.
It's think about
look at the what was it, Dave? 72 Olympics.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, I was just going to say. Look at when we had a boycott the Olympics that were in Moscow in 1980, right? Was it 1980?
Yeah. Was that Jimmy Carter? 1980.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Reagan. Do you remember why we boycotted the Olympics in 1980?
Why? What was the reason?
Russia invaded Afghanistan.
Oh, was it really? Oh, that's so weird. Yeah.
But what year did we do it? 2001.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Nobody boycotted the.
Well, they, you know what it is? They boycotted us, I think, in 84. So then we couldn't go to. I mean, we boycotted them, then they boycotted us in 84, right?
Yeah.
And we had the Los Angeles Olympics. Yeah. So stupid. We went to Nazi Germany with Jesse Owens, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And Hitler right in the audience.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so.
I mean, it's all documented, and Jesse Owens. Like blasted people off the, you know.
It's funny because no one, that was the safest Olympics. It's funny because the Germans ran it, even though, you know, we were, you know, they weren't good people at the time, but they ran a good tight security. No one got hurt. No one, nothing happened. You know, you would have thought that would have been the controversial Olympics, you know. So what do you think about this Olympics coming up in Paris?
They still have the bed bug issue. Okay. I'll give my the telephone number to Martin Pestro. I'm meeting tomorrow between 9 and 11. That's serious, Steve.
Yeah.
What do I think about it? I think that it feels like the Olympics is losing, like Sports Illustrated, its luster.
That's what I was going to say. I haven't heard any hype on it, nothing. Usually you see all, you know, it's like hype to the hell. It's nothing.
Because they've even it's just a different world, and people have different interests. And where's it going to be hyped on? Like CNN and Fox News? I mean, nobody watches those anyway. I mean, if Joe Rogan was talking about it, right? I mean, the point is the bottom line is it just seems like the Olympics have lost their hype or their luster. And you can go to, like, ask people who won the 100 meters in the last Olympics and the Olympics before that. It used to be that people would know.
Yeah.
Especially the Winter Olympics.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why there's not more hype about it. I just I feel like I don't even know who's you know.
Who? You don't know who's who.
They always had like a real big advertising campaign. Maybe they're going to start soon and do that because it's like they always would do these commercials with, like, you know, the top athletes from, at least from America, hyping those guys up and, you know, do specials, news specials. But I guess no one watches TV anymore. That's the problem. What do you know? Even
well, that's what I meant by like Fox News and CNN. Like,
yeah. Who's even broadcasting the Olympics? I'm sure there's going to be I don't know. Do you even know what channel it's going on?
No, but, you know, you know what? The Olympics is kind of sort of losing its luster, and the World Cup is like, you know, from TV audiences.
NBC. Example. NBC is doing it.
And the World Cup in terms of soccer, you know, is kind of like leading the way now.
Yeah. So it seems. Xavier says, cross country equestrian is underrated as fuck. You ride a horse, Xavier? Anyway. I don't know. I like I said, I'm looking forward to the Pittsburgh guest posing coming up. I'm going to be in St. Louis this coming weekend for Jack Tatone and Ann Tatone show. I'll be there Thursday through Sunday. That'll be fun. I haven't seen those guys in a while and haven't gone to their show in a while. I used to always go to their show. So be there. I have a couple clients in the show.
The Nabisco mansion is for sale.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Did you see that? So Stallone, was it Stallone? No,
Michael Jordan has it in St. Louis. You can go look at it.
Michael Jordan has a mansion that's been on. He's been trying to sell for 10 years. He can't get rid of it.
Well, more than 10 years.
Maybe you should lowball and make him a lowball offer.
It's been the price has dropped so many times. It's like that the house like Tyson used to own, and I think 50 Cent owns it in Connecticut.
Oh, really? They said he customized the house too much. I would think people would like that, though, because it's Jordan, you know, but who knows? He even offered to throw in a pair of every shoe that was ever made with his name on it. It's autographed if someone would buy the house.
They'll buy the shoes, but they don't want the house. Yeah.
I watched this special on Amazon Prime that you would like. It was about mega yachts, but all these yachts that they build, or like all these like oil sheiks and all these rich people. This one guy who had this crazy, crazy yacht, it was like 500 million pounds it cost to build it or something like that. He has also they say it's the number one apartment or condo in the world. Like it's like, or at least in the United States, it's right in Miami Beach and like overlooks everything. You have a view. He could even see his yacht. They showed his yacht from there. He had these designers come in and design this place. It's so unbelievable, Chris. You would be masturbating watching this thing.
What's the name of the building?
You don't remember it, Alexis. I don't remember. Watch it. It's called Mega Yachts. They show his apartment, and because it's mostly about yachts, the whole show. But they show this apartment. I know you love real estate. You should watch it just for the real estate. He built a pool on the roof, his own pool, and the place is insane. It's like,
is it a condo or is it a house?
It's a condo, but he bought it, but he transformed this thing. It's like unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Someone just bought one, I think, for $120 million in Miami Beach.
He probably put $120 million into it after he bought it, this guy, the way he spent. This guy has this mega yacht. He decided he's going to sell it. He wants a bigger one. He doesn't know what to do with his money, this guy. That's how wealthy this guy is.
Well, call me. I'll figure out what to do with it.
Yeah. All right, guys. I want to thank you guys for joining us live, as you always do on Sunday night. Thanks for the comments, even the obnoxious ones, because we feel loved when we see those comments. And great. We didn't get you on the show, Xavier, but thank you for joining us, as always. And the question is, Rami.
Dave, I knew you were going to say that, dude.
Bust or...
Bang.
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 That's the question. Bang. Chris says bang. What do you guys think? Put it in the comments below. I'm going to be checking out the Phil Heath documentary and the George Farah. Don't forget, he's got the opening of his documentary, The Guru, that will be in St. Petersburg this coming weekend. Unfortunately, I'll be in St. Louis, or I would have gone up there and checked it out. And that's it. As we say every week with Heavy Muscle Radio,
the truth hurts.
Good night, everyone. We'll see you again next week.